Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during an evangelistic service held to open the 2000-2001 school year. Following introductory remarks by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Dr. Douglas Jackson, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. The title of his message is, More Barns But Not Rich With God. The text is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21.
My heart overflowed as I sat here contemplating how good God has been to each of us to allow us to be here to begin this school year. He has watched over us while we were apart. Many of you have been engaged in ministry. He has sustained you. He has supplied your needs. Many of you are here because of the faithfulness of God in taking care of the financial needs you had. And working miracles. He is a miracle-working God. He's a supernatural God. You and I live in the realm of the natural. He is the supernatural God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I hope there is overflowing praise in your heart for the goodness of God in allowing all of us to be here together. I hope the first day that you have been in classes has not been too traumatic to you. I hope you realize that we're serious here about educating you, and you have a great faculty who will work with you and love you and spend time to help you through the difficult moments of your subjects, and whose lives are given in ministry here. There's no other reason for any of us to be here than to minister to you. And we count it a great joy that God has brought you here and allowed us this privilege. We too thank God for His faithfulness. I thank God for allowing us to begin the 74th year in the history of BJU. A great miracle of God. Everything you see around here is a miracle of God. We tell people if it's good, He's done it. If it's bad, we've done it. And He's a great God. And what you see here is the evident token of His goodness and the evidence of His omnipotence to provide. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. He's a prayer-answering God. And He's the God of this place. It belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to any of us. It's His place. And so I hope when you walk around this campus, it's with a sense of awe for the majesty of God, for the greatness of God, for the holiness of God. And if you have a heart in tune with Him, it will not be hard for you to sense His presence here and to rejoice that daily as we walk with Him in scriptural obedience, He walks with us. Great is His faithfulness. Let me introduce our speaker of the evening. Dr. Douglas Jackson, for 22 years, has been pastor of the Community Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. Many of you in Michigan are well acquainted with him. He wears many hats in addition to being pastor of the church. He is also much sought after throughout Michigan and the country as an evangelistic speaker, as a youth speaker. He has a youthful heart and a youthful spirit, and you always feel buoyed up as a result of being around him. He's just a delightful person. He and his wife, Kathy, are very dear friends of my wife and me. We treasure their friendship, admire greatly the work that they're doing there. He also started the Community Baptist Schools. He is on the board of the Michigan Association of Schools, the Independent Fundamental Baptist Association of Michigan, several mission boards. He is the chairman of the board at Maranatha Baptist College. He was in their first graduating class, I believe it was in 1972. And he understands young people. And his life is involved heavily in the ministry to young people. And I'm so thrilled that they were able to take some time to be with us and for him to come and minister the Word of God. I know you'll be in prayer for him tonight, tomorrow. Did you see them around campus? Let them know who you are. Introduce yourselves to them and let them know that you're very glad indeed that they're here.
That's great to be here with you. It's a privilege to be here, at the beginning of this new school year. I'm so glad that I could be a part of this new school year. We praise the Lord for this place. 74 years. Wow, that's a long time. 74 years. And if you guys have been here the whole time, some of these guys have been here the whole time. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Let's all stand. Luke 12, starting with verse number 13. More barns, but not rich with God. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's all read verse number 21 together. Ready? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would use your word to challenge and convict. Father, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak in this pulpit. Father, I know that this is all for a purpose. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use your word tonight to do a wonderful work in our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather around the word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We live in a day in which you can't have enough. We live in a world that's dollar-driven. A few years ago, I read in the USA Today, Ivana Trump reported that she needed $2 million per year to live. It's about what some of you freshmen are probably thinking you'll need. Dollars and stuff, materialism, has gripped our society. Let me ask you, what are you living for? Jesus said there's more to life than bigger barns with lots of stuff. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. Covetousness, a desire for what we don't have. Greediness. Greed is a practice of measuring life's possessions. Greed equates a person's worth with a person's possessions. You've got a lot, you are a lot. You've got little, you are little. Life is more than stuff. Life, real life, is only found in God. Life is not found in the gifts of life, but in the giver of life. You've come here to learn, to prepare for the future. Are you going to use your education to accumulate or to honor God? If it's in honoring God and you accumulate, amen. But if all you're thinking about is a portfolio, the sum total of your goal is spiritual bankruptcy. As a pastor, I want folks to honor God and to be blessed. I want folks to honor God and to see God bless them. I don't know if you heard about the two guys that were marooned on an island. The one guy was sitting over there just peaceful, just enjoying the breeze and sitting there in the sand under a palm tree. And the other guy was nervous. I mean, he was absolutely freaked out. He was jumping up and down, said, How in the world can you sit there so calm? We're going to die here in this island. We're marooned. Nobody's ever going to find us. And the man said, I give $1,000 a week. My pastor will find us. Take heed. Listen up. He tells us to listen up. Number one, listen up. Take heed. Ever have a problem listening? My mom is 5 feet tall. About this high, red hair, and she is about 100 pounds, soaking wet. I'm the oldest of 6 children. I have three other brothers. They're all pastors. One sister's married to a pastor. Another sister's backslidden. She married a deacon. My mom would call me by many names. She would say, Doug. Many times she would fondly say, Dougie. I see your mind, Mrs. Jones. You're thinking about that right now. Dougie, she would say, Dougie. Please, no one say, hi, Pastor Dougie. Please don't say that. And she would say, son. And then when she really wanted my attention, she would say, Douglas. When she said Douglas, I knew she said, or she meant, listen up. Pay attention. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. He's saying, listen up. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed, listen up. Look back at verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Verses 14 and 15, we see the answer. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus answered the man by pointing him to a higher principle, to a higher issue. He said, don't be concerned about your riches down here, but be concerned with your riches in heaven. He said, listen, you've got the whole program wrong here. What a trivial thing to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Although in that day, rabbis would often field questions like Jesus had received from this man. Because rabbis were expected to help settle legal matters. But Jesus refused to answer him directly. Why? Because he knew no answer that he gave would solve the real problem, which was covetousness in the heart of the brothers. Notice verse number 14. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Notice he says you there. That's plural. He's not only talking about him, but he's talking about his brother. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get this guy to listen. As long as these men were both greedy, no settlement would be right with them. Their greatest need was to have their hearts changed. But like too many people today, he wanted Jesus to serve him, not to save him. See, he wanted to go back to his brother and say, hey, you know, that Jesus of Nazareth, you know him? That Jesus, that miracle worker, you know, the smartest man who's ever lived. You know that man? You know what he said? He said, hey, give me my inheritance. He said, divide it fairly. Give me my share. The King of Kings, the Son of God, the most brilliant man this man had ever met. He goes to him and tells him, my brother is ripping me off. He talks to the Lord Jesus Christ about money. Well, I see an attitude. Buddy, you've got a problem. You are talking to Jesus and all you can think about is getting your fair share. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. His thoughts were on stuff instead of eternity. And this greedy, covetousness type thinking was condemning this man. It's not the stuff of this world that we ought to focus on, but the things of God. How tragic to focus on the things of this world and to forget about God. But a lot of people do that today. They're rich in this world and they're poor in the world to come. Paul said again in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Truth is, many young people aren't concerned with what God has for their lives, but what they can do to get the best income, to accumulate stuff. If they accumulate stuff, then they'll be happy. I've known so many folks that have put so much emphasis on the stuff of this world that they've lost out when it comes to heaven. 22 years ago, I remember talking to a man about coming to church. He said to me, I don't have time for church or God right now because I need to pay off my mortgage. Well, that same man has paid off his mortgage, but that same man has lost the opportunity to rear his family in a godly environment. He's lost the opportunity to have fun with his family. Same man has lost his health. That same man has paid off his mortgage, and now he needs to remodel that 25-year-old house. He's lost a lot. Jesus says, listen up. Pay attention. Hear what I've got to tell you. Number two, he says, look out. Notice he says, in verse number 15, he says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware. Look out. Watch out for the snare. Watch out for the trap. Listen up. Look out. Then the parable. He gives them a parable. That's how he answers the question. Verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. Let's look at it again. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Advertisers spend millions to entice us to think if we buy more, we will be happier. More means better. Better means happier. All right? Nope. Nope. Can you say that? Nope. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. People will spend all to get more. They'll charge it up. They'll steal. They'll shoplift. Credit limits are at their max. Then there are lotteries. There are casinos. There are all kinds of ways to make fast money so you can get more stuff. Someone just asked me the other day, Pastor, you gamble? I said, no. Well, only when I ride with my teenage daughters. In Michigan, before your children get licensed, I have twin daughters, they're 17. Before they get their license, they have to ride with you or drive with you for 50 hours. That's a very painful thing. Remember last spring, Trina was driving. I wanted to pick up a couple airline tickets and I looked down at my planner, and she was driving our van, and I had a little note there, pick up airline tickets, and I looked up, and I could see the driveway. It was like 100 feet in front of me, and I looked back down, and yeah, I better pick my tickets up. I said, Trina, turn here. We're going 45 miles an hour down Gratiot, and she turned into the parking lot at 45 miles an hour. Two wheels. She said, Dad, you said turn here. What's the matter, Dad? My face was flush. I was checking for stroke. I rolled out of the van. I kissed the ground, but I was afraid I could never get back up. Went in and got my tickets. The lady in the travel agency said, Pastor, your door is wide open on the van. Is something wrong? Oh, no. Everything's fine. I walked back out and said, give me the keys. People go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Las Vegas, Nevada. They go there so they can make fast money so they can buy more stuff. Las Vegas, Nevada is a sad place. It's like a real ugly girl with a lot of makeup, too much makeup. It's just sad. It's really sad. Kind of green, you're not laughing. You know that happens. You've seen them. Sad. I'm going to say, go wash your face, don't you? Okay. How about the incredible popularity of the television program, So You Want to Be a Millionaire? One TV commercial spot, $330,000. Then the Survivor Show. I've never watched the Survivor Show. I read about it. And I couldn't believe what those people were doing. Yet I heard that the last episode was one of the top-rated programs, second only to the Super Bowl, Survivor. Sounds like a freshman in an all-senior room, doesn't it? Beware of what people will do for money. You say it's dumb, run around half naked on an island with TV cameras. But what kind of game are you playing? What kind of odds do you have in winning? Is it worth it? No. If you lose your soul, it's not worth it. No. If you lose your testimony, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to lose your reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's so many Christians today sacrificing the altar of temporary. I have a 15-year-old son. His name is Clint. We hope to call him Clinton again in January. Clint was born with Down syndrome. Clint knows about 120 scripture verses. A couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I had him stand up and quote Ephesians chapter 6. I was preaching from Ephesians chapter 6. On the spot, I said, Clint, come on up and quote it. He got up and he started quoting. And I'm telling you, half the congregation had moist eyes when he got through. The little guy believes the Bible. He wants to preach. He wants to go to college and become a preacher. Well, the other day, Kathy was going to go to her sister's house and go swimming. Her sister's married to a very wealthy pastor, and they have a swimming pool. And I wanted him to stay home with me because I was going to go hit some golf balls. I said, Clint, if you stay home with me, instead of going swimming, I'll give you $10. $10 to stay with me or go swimming to Aunt Chrissy's. What will it be? Go swimming. Clint. His twin sisters are standing over there. They said, Dad, raise the ante. Clint, I'll give you $100. You can ask my wife. I would do that. I'll give you $100 if you stay with me instead of going swimming and Aunt Chrissy's. Dad, read my lips. I'm going swimming. I said, son, if you'll stay home with me, I'll buy you a swimming pool. You stay with me or go to Aunt Chrissy's? The girls are going, yes, a swimming pool. Clint says, I'm going to Aunt Chrissy's. Little guy, look what he sacrificed for one dip in a swimming pool, or for an hour or two in a swimming pool. We sacrifice so much down here because we get our eyes on the things down here instead of keeping our eyes on God. If your major emphasis is on the things of this world, you are in the same boat as the rich fool. Remember several years ago, back in 1972, when I got out of college, there was a lady named Margaret Knapp. We called her Grandma Knapp. She was in her 70s. She's received Christ as her Savior. She was a character. She was about 300 pounds. She looked like an old Indian. If you saw her at night, you'd run. She never wore nylon. She wrapped ace bandages around her legs. I guess it's cheaper than nylons. She had a little El Camino, a little blue El Camino truck, and she still had a garbage route. She was a garbage lady, and she still picked up the garbage from some of the different people in the area that we were at. And she received Christ as her Savior. I remember going over to her house and telling her how she needed to get baptized. She lived on the end of a dead-end street in a little, dumpy white house. So she got baptized. I remember when she got baptized, too. It was great. Somebody filled the baptismal tank too high. The back row of the choir. We've all heard stories about it. Well, it was probably that story. She went down. The water came out. A couple weeks later, we had a great summer camp program. Teenagers were giving testimony after testimony. In the middle of the testimony service, she waved her hand like this at me and got my attention, and I said, yes, Grandma Nat. She said, could I give a testimony? I'm not a young person. And I said, sure. And she said, well, my only regret is that I don't have more life to live for my Jesus. After that service that night, I went to her and I asked her, I said, Mrs. Knapp, what took you so long to get saved? She looked at me and she said, Things. An old dumpy house at the end of a dead-end street. An old dumpy rusted El Camino that you pick up trash with. Things. But it's true. Actually, see, you could be the poorest person here and have one of the greatest problems with covetousness. Covetousness is relative and it's not defined with what something costs, but it measured by what it cost you. If anything cost you your soul or anything cost you your integrity, your morality, your family, your testimony, the price is too high. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Psalm 39:6, surely every man walketh in a vain show, surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And this is the point that Jesus was making to this young man when he gave him this parable about the rich man who failed to see what was really important. His plan to build more barns, to put up goods, to accumulate, his aim, hot tub, lots of grub and facials with mud. He missed the point. There's more to life than just living for today. The man's sin is not that he had planned for didn't plan for the future, but his sin was that his plans did not include God. Do yours? How do you look at the future? Is God in your plans? Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Instead of a mansion in heaven, he was building barns on earth. Jesus says, all right, listen up. Then he says, number two, look out. Beware of covetousness. Number three, he says, live it up. Verses 19 and 20, the last part of 21. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, verse number 22, notice, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, for what it shall put on. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Live it up. Live looking up. Live paying attention to what God wants. Look at what can produce a really good life. Why? Verse number 20. Life is uncertain and short. Life is so uncertain. I was telling Dr. Bob that on Tuesday we had the funeral of a lady in our church, one of the best Christian ladies I've ever known. 39 years old. Went out into eternity. Buried her father in January. We had no idea that we would bury her 7.5 months later. Life is but a vapor. James chapter 4. Take your Bibles and turn there. James 4:14. Let's look at that verse. Great verse. James 4:14. Live it up. Live looking up. Realize the importance of living a life that honors God. Rich with God. That's what Jesus was telling this man. Be rich with God. Understand the importance of being rich with God. Rich towards God. He says. James chapter 4 and verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. About 7 years ago, my girls had this verse for a memory verse in their Bible class. And I think it was their fifth grade class. And on Monday, the teacher gave them the verse, wrote it up on the board. and they wrote the verse on Tuesday. They wrote the verse 10 times, and they quoted it in class together on Wednesday. They tried to quote it without looking at the board. Then on Thursday, they had the pretest. On Friday, they had the test. They got 100% on the test. But it wasn't until Sunday that they really understood what that verse meant. But that same teacher that was teaching in that verse on Sunday took a bite of a donut that had been cooked in peanut oil, highly allergic to peanut oil. Before the emergency vehicles could get there, he went out into eternity. Life is but a vapor. Life is uncertain and short. So I need to live looking up, live with God in view. And then, secondly, life is more than stuff. The Bible says, thou fool. Now, I'm not sure if that would be politically correct today to call anybody a fool, but he says, thou fool. Thou fool, the Bible says. Tonight, thy soul, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Rich with stuff, poor with God. Jesus never once criticized him for his affluence. He condemned him for his arrogance. The rich man's word testify to his priorities. Notice he says, I will do, I'll tear down, I will store, I will say to myself, his little world, it's not your little world, it's God's world. Strange. Now, this man had enough sense to acquire wealth, but not enough sense to get ready for eternity. Stranger still is that so many are still making the same mistake today. Yet it's no secret. Take one look at a cemetery. We realize everybody dies. I remember we were driving down Gratiot. Kathy, remember this? We're driving down Gratiot and the new mausoleum. Kathy doesn't like the new mausoleum they built because in the front of the new mausoleum there is a guy with a hammer and he's like pounding down. It's eerie looking. As we were driving by the new mausoleum, I said, look, girls, that's a new mausoleum. And one of the girls said, this was several years ago, one of the girls said, Dad, yeah, that's where they laminate people. Now get that in your mind. And then the other one said, no, that's not where they laminate, that's where they taxidermiate people. They were trying to say cremate people. Rich with God. Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. The key is being rich with God. Verse number 21, rich towards God. Notice verse number 31. The Bible says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse number 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse number 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Rich towards God. Rich towards God. Yes, to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Rich towards God. Knowing Jesus as our personal Savior. The same Jesus that left the splendor of heaven and came to earth perfect. He left the perfect place and came down here to such an imperfect place. Died on Calvary's tree for you and for me. Shed His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus died for me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus? Have you allowed the things of this world to blur your vision on what really is important? Romans 10, verse number 13. Well, let's go back to verse number 8. First of all, Luke 12:8. Notice Jesus said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Take your Bibles and turn there. Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Bible says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And being saved is not just for dying. Being saved is also for living. Jesus told us He'd give us life and life more abundantly. So many times we get our eyes off of what really is important. Rich toward God. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins"? How many have ever seen that bumper sticker? Seen that? Well, there's another one out now. And it says, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." And I'll tell you who really wins. The person who has faith in God. The person who puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Real living comes by knowing Jesus Christ. We took a couple in their 60s to dinner last week. And they had been visiting our church. And they were interested in joining our church. I told them that I would waive the $1,000 initiation fee if they joined in August. I'm just teasing. And I asked them to give me a word of testimony. I realized after they gave me their testimonies that Joyce, the lady, wasn't really sure about her salvation. So I shared with her John 3:16. I shared with her how Jesus came to this world to die on the cross of Calvary so that we could have everlasting life. Share with her how Jesus went to the grave and rose victorious over the grave. How Jesus could give her victory. She bowed her head right there at the restaurant and received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And then she said, "Pastor, I'm so glad that God saved me. I've been unsure for so long. It's terrible not to know for sure." Do you know for sure tonight that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know for sure tonight that if you were to die, that you would go to heaven? Do you know tonight, if you were to die, that you'd be with Jesus, your life, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord? Jesus says, "Listen up. Listen up." Then He says, "Look out for the snare of stuff." And then, "Live up. Don't live for the things down here, but live for God up there. 'Tis only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." My dad wrote that in every Bible I ever received from him. Getting ready for eternity is more important than accumulating stuff. What if this man had prayed, "Dear Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Help me in my life. And help me handle my wealth." Instead of reading, "Thou fool," we would have read, "Well done." Perhaps you need to focus less attention on what you want and more on what He wants. First, you must know God. Receive His Son. Ask Jesus to come into your life, into your heart. Rich toward God? How tragic when people are rich in this world, but poor in the next. How tragic when we take our eyes off of what really is important. There's more to life than stuff. Are you rich toward God? Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed in the quietness of the moment. How many here can say tonight, "Pastor Jackson, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is my Savior. If I were to die tonight, I know that I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure." Would you slip your hands up if you know that for sure? If you're not sure, please don't raise your hand. You may put your hands down. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He's made provision for you. I trust you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. put the emphasis on the right world. What a tragic, tragic condemnation of this man, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. It's not that he died with so much, that it's that he died and he was going to go to a crisis eternity, going to be without God for all eternity. And say tonight, you know, Pastor Jackson, I know that I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I were to die tonight that I'd go to heaven. I need to make sure. I want to be rich toward God. If you'd say that tonight, would you let me pray for you? Would you slip your hand up in the quietness of the moment while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around? I'd like to know for sure. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Remember me in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. Just a moment. We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward. Receive Christ as your Savior. I trust if you're here tonight, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and take away your sin. Or if you're not sure, like Joyce Cole, you're just not sure. Tonight, be your night of salvation. Perhaps as a Christian, you'd say tonight, I need to put less attention on what I want and more attention on what God wants. Life is more than just accumulating. Life is more than just getting a good education to accumulate. Life, real life, is rich towards God. I'd say as a Christian tonight, as I evaluate how I've been living my life, I realize I need to put my emphasis back to where it needs to be. And that is rich toward God. Remember me in prayer. As you close the service tonight, pray for me. Would you slip your hands up in the quietness of the moment while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? I've been putting my emphasis in the wrong area. Remember me in prayer. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Just slip it up and slip it down. Remember me in prayer. You know, I've taken my eyes off. I had some good goals, and at one time I was going to honor God, but I forgot about that. I've taken my eyes off of God. And I realize I need to put the emphasis back to where it needs to be, rich toward God. Life is more than accumulating. It's about being rich with God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time you've given us tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd bless in this time of invitation. I pray for some young people here that just aren't sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. I pray, Father, that they would not condemn themselves by continuing to live in a way where they're not honoring you with their lives. Father, tonight would be the night that they would say, Dear God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the rugged cross for my sin. I accept my payment for sin. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Father, I pray for some that are just not sure. I pray that tonight they'd know for sure. I pray for many who've raised their hands, Christians who've raised their hands and said, you know, I need to put the emphasis back to where it needs to be, rich towards God. If I'm honoring God and God allows me to accumulate, amen. But my main goal is to honor God with my life. Now, dear God, bless in this time of invitation. We thank you again for your Spirit, for the opportunity we have to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Douglas Jackson, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.